And our guest this hour, Rick Collingwood, as we talk about hypnosis, exorcisms, demons, and take your calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back, Rick Collingwood with us and your calls. Rick, you were telling us about a story. You were going to some nice-looking hotel, and what happened?
A hotel in London. Yeah, it was built on the River Thames, and it was basically refurbished old buildings that had been warehouses for hundreds of years. And I had a student of mine that I trained in hypnosis in Australia from England, and he moved back there, and we were doing some work in London. Anyway, we get this two-bedroom suite in this old hotel, and time for bed, so I go into the bedroom, and this other fellow's in his lounge room bedroom, and all of a sudden the TV comes on, and it's really, really loud, and then it goes off, and then it comes on again the same, and this fellow's name was Alan, and he said to me, "Oh, the TV keeps coming off and on," and I said, "Well, darling, it must be faulty." And he said, no, it's really weird. And I said, "Well, if it's really annoying you, pull the plug out of the wall." And he said, "I have." So when we checked out in the morning, I said to the girl, "Does anything strange ever happen in this hotel?" And it was room 17B. And she said, "You were in 17B? And I said, "Yes." She said, "Some strange things happened there." So I think there might be a few energies that have been around the Thames for a long, long time that never left the building. But, you know, strong emotion will imprint itself in places too. If you walked into a place where there'd been something hideous happen a long time earlier, you'll sort of feel it. But it might just be the raising of the hairs on the back of your neck or knowing that something's a little bit out of sync. But that doesn't discard the fact that something is happening. And we do have the ability to pick these things up as animals do, but for most of us, it's been shut down. So we just tend to discard it and get on with things, you know?
What allows someone to get possessed? I mean, what happens? They let their guard down? What happens?
I think they can become too open to it. One of the other significant things that does bring through possessions, because not all of these energies, if you will, discarnate human spirits. One of the worst things is playing with Ouija boards if you don't know what you're doing.
Yep.
You can bring some pretty freaky and evil stuff through that. I think personally there's a lot of tricksters in the ether that love to get through to here, but they really have no place here. And it can be quite confusing and sometimes dangerous because if it affects a person's mental state. But the Ouija boards, from my experience, seem to be the gateway that can open things up for some very negative energies to come through.
Yeah, I have advocated that people stay away from it for some time now. We've had some guests who swear by the Ouija board, Rick. They think it's a good thing that things will work out, but I stay away from it.
Look, I've tend to found in my experience, in my profession, you meet a lot of what I call New Age or psychic people or ghost hunters, whatever you want to call them, and they all seem to have pretty terrible lives or strange, weird circumstances begin to happen to them, and nothing ever quite works out, no matter how they try to put things together or plan their lives. There always seems to be some sort of bad luck just turns up, and you know, in too many cases, and I agree with you with the Ouija boards, there may be some people that are open and have a good connection through and are strong enough to be able to dabble with these things and not be affected. But I would say the vast majority of people that dabble with these things in ignorance are playing with things that nobody really understands, you know. And to deny the existence of other energies or entities or frequencies or whatever you want to call them in the ether, to me, is just foolhardy. There's too much evidence and too many reports. It's like trying to deny the fact that any kind of a UFO exists, regardless of where it comes from. The fact is there's too much documentation to just be written off as someone being mad. So I tend to stay away from that kind of, there's no way I'd involve myself in any kind of a Ouija board activity or the calling in of spirits or things like that. But I also think that there's some benevolent energies that will come through to help if they're given the chance. So I was working a while ago with a girl that had had a very bad car accident and three near-death experiences and 2 weeks in hospital. And when I put her into hypnosis, she says there's always this big eye that appears in front of her and leads her off to a golden place. Now, she's made some remarkable beneficial changes in her memory coming back, her pain disappearing, getting her life in order. So she perhaps, when she had her NDEs, met a beneficent energy that I think comes back to visit her more often than she's aware. But she's made great progress. So I don't think that all of these energetic frequencies are negative, evil, and horrible. They become that way when you become afraid of them. But that's where they get their power from. If you can remain a little irrelevant and not overly scared, they don't have much power over you at all. I don't think an ectoplasm type of a spirit has the ability to grab anyone and grab hold of them. It's only our own fear that leads to irrationality and the inability to think clearly that can take us down with this. That's my belief.
All right, let's go to the calls now. First-time caller, Chris in Santa Clara, California. Hey, Chris, go ahead.
I have a question. Throughout my whole life, I've been seeing a lot of demonic forces and ghosts, all this stuff, but there's one thing that happened to me that boggles my mind was one night I was laying in bed and all of a sudden 5 hours just disappeared like that. How's that? Do you know how is that possible?
So 5 hours just went by and you had no experience of it?
Missing time.
No, I was sitting in bed. I was looking at the ceiling. I blinked one time and 5 hours just went away just like that.
Is that like self-hypnosis?
It could have been a dissociation, so it may well have been. Did you have any experiences as this went on, Chris, or was it just 5 hours disappeared?
It was just 5 hours disappeared because I'm laying in bed, and my room was right next to the kitchen, and so the light was on. And I blinked, all of a sudden all the lights went off. I thought, the power went out. And I look up, and I see the time, and it's 5 hours difference. I'm like, how's this possible?
Just gone. Look, that could be spontaneous dissociation. There's a lot of different. Did you see anything? Like, was there any energy or entity or anything came through?
No, it was just that there was nothing. I blinked my eyes and it was all black. And then I look up and then I look at the time and 5 hours difference.
Look, I've worked with a lot of people that are abductees, if you will, that experience and report very similar things, that time has just gone and they have no experience or memory of what had happened to it. So there's definitely some kind of a dissociation or some kind of an energetic walk-in going on there. You sound like a pretty sane and rational person to me, but look, we're subjected to a lot of things we have no understanding of. But that sounds like a significant dissociated event to me.
Uh-huh. I agree.
Okay, good luck to you. Next up, we go to Caleb in Los Angeles. Caleb, thanks for calling.
Yeah, hi. I wanted to ask, what is your view on astral projection, and do you think it has anything to do with exorcisms or demonic possession?
I think we can all expand our consciousness and send it to places. Astral projection is different than astral travel, as is the techniques that the remote viewers use. I think that there's a lot of things in the ether, if you're talking about astral traveling, that you can meet and bang into that aren't perhaps the nicest energies to meet. But I do know that when one begins to have consciousness leave the body, you'll often see grotesque images and hear strange noises before you escape out of the body, if you will. But once again, there's a lot of beneficent forces out there as well as the negative ones, and clear thinking is what will keep you focused and able to do this. A lot of people say to me with the astral projections and astral traveling, as soon as they get afraid or think about what they're doing, bang, they're sort of straight back into their body. So there's a lot of forces out there in the ether that we have no understanding or knowledge of as the general public. I think there's certain trained people that that do know about these things. For example, the churches, they don't spend 5 years in priest school just to read the Bible. They learn a lot of things that the average person doesn't know.
Are you glad, Rick, that you got into hypnotism as a career?
Yeah, I'm very glad that I did, because at the end of the day, the vast majority of people that one sees as a therapist that beyond the wanting to quit smoking and make a change, you can make some incredible changes in people's lives that put them off in new directions, and a lot of things just come together for them. It's very rewarding, you know. If I work with a cigarette smoker who gives up, I think, big deal. But if I work with somebody whose life is an entire mess and they experience some hypnosis and everything comes on track for them and they move forward and everything falls into place, that's a wonderful, rewarding feeling, you know.
All right, next up we have Andy in Highbridge, Wisconsin, east of the Rockies. Andy, you're on with Rick Collingwood.
George, Rick, greetings, gentlemen.
Hey, Andy.
How are you, Andy?
I was just kind of pondering this idea about, if there's possession by nasty spirits out there, they must have a realm where they exist. I guess that could be called hell. If there's hell and there's beings and entities suffering there eternally, then wouldn't that sort of negate the idea of heaven? How can there be bliss for eternity for people, all while these people know that there's a whole other world filled with other beings that are suffering? It seems to me that would be a total buzzkill for the people in heaven, and so it really wouldn't be heaven, would it? I just wanted kind of throw that out there as food for thought. Anyway,
maybe it comes down to the battle in heaven when the angels were cast out. You know, there's definitely some demonic forces, but as I've said earlier, there's a lot of good ones. I think we have two sides of the coin here. We've got the positive and the negative. Personally, I think we live in an internal present, and when we pass from this world, what we're doing at that present time is going to have a great bearing on where the consciousness goes afterwards. But I think, look, definitely there's negative beings out there, as there's angels that will appear in times of need or not need, and I think a lot of them we can't even recognize, you know. So when you read the good book, it will talk a lot about this, regardless of what your views are, but it wasn't all just written for the sake of it, you know.
Let's take a few more calls before the break, and then we'll come back with some more final calls for you. We'll go to Fernando in Bloomington, California. Hey, Fernando, thanks for calling.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
I got a question. Has Rick heard anything about love spells, about binds?
About what, sorry?
Binds.
Binds?
That's the way they call them. It's like love spells that they do. Let's say your wife doesn't want you to leave her, and you want to file a divorce on her, and she does a bind on you so you won't leave.
Yes. That's quite common, a force of will. How that works is we're subjected to other people's thoughts. We're energetic. People can project thoughts. As I was saying earlier, we have all these receptors we're not aware that we have that pick up the thought and the feeling. So if you think it's your own internal thought and someone you're close to especially really projects hard at you strongly, you will take it as your own thought. So you won't really have an understanding that it's coming from somewhere else. That's, if you will, how spells used to work in the old days. It's the old story, knowledge is power. And if you have the knowledge, you've got power over somebody else to influence them, whether they want to get away from you or not. They'll always find an excuse not to right at the last minute. So as far as binding is concerned, I think it's very real, yes.
All right, very good. Rick, a session, a hypnosis session, lasts normally how long?
Look, classically people are taught that it should be an hour, but I think spending an hour with a person is fine. Usually about 20 minutes in hypnosis is more than enough, and pre-discussion and post-discussion. So a lot of hypnosis these days, George, is people are told to close their eyes and just relax and go deeper and deeper and deeper. And they go down to a usual alpha state, which is a low hertz or resonance frequency of the brain. But it's not hypnosis. It's a trance state. Not all trance states are hypnotic states. The genuine hypnosis happens down in the theta realm, which is even deeper, and where we go when we're in deep dream sleep. So the unfortunate thing, or the sad thing for me, is looking at what's happened to hypnosis. It's just made out that you can go buy a book and say a certain thing to people and they'll go off into this state, which they will. It will be trance. It won't be genuine deep hypnosis, which is where people need to get to make a significant shift. Otherwise, it's just good salesmanship and wishful thinking, you know?
Indeed it is. Let's take another call from Bob in New York. Hey, Bob, go ahead.
Hi, gentlemen. Mike, I have a comment and a question. I'll go with the comment first about Ouija boards and why people have different problems with them that they don't have in other forms of divination like with tarot cards. And that is that you have in the board, you have an area where you're going to worship something, and then you have the plachette where the deity would come and rest, just like if you were going to have, you know, ask God to come and visit. And in this realm, it would be the God with a little g, and because most people don't know what they're doing, any spirit could enter the plachette and be part of your ceremony, which you don't really realize. Those people don't really realize that the ceremony that they're involved in is a ceremony. And I personally wouldn't use one, but I don't need one to contact spirits. The question I have is, have you ever had a patient that did any levitation or levitated anything in the room with you while you were dealing with him in spirits?
No, but I've had books fall out of the bookcase and things fall off the tables in my clinical room where nobody is near them. So, but I've never actually seen anyone levitate something or consciously focus and move it with their mind. I don't discount that it could be done. I certainly can't do it, but I've had, as I said, books fall off out of the bookcase for no apparent reason, quite significantly sized books, and a few things fall off the table, strangely enough. I have no doubt that when one is involved with the greater depths of hypnosis, there's other energies that come around. I have no disputing there, and I think some of them are a bit mischievous, or they want to let you know that they're there so that they might go through an action. But I've never met anybody that can look at something and use their own force of will to shift it. So I have to say, if that happens, it's something came of visiting, if you will.
Think people are more possessed now than they were years ago?
I think that they are, in as much as there's a lot more drug taking around now, and I think chemical drug taking opens up conduits and lets things in that we have no understanding of at all. To me, you get drugs like ice and what have you. Those are the demons that we face in this world, because they open up doors to allow the non-benevolent energies come through, I think.
Rick, we're going to take final calls with you when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, we shall begin our open lines, but when we come back in a moment, we will take final phone calls with Rick Collingwood as we talk about hypnosis and exorcisms and demons. Hey, are you watching our television show yet, Beyond Belief? You can simply go to this website, beyondbelief.com, fill out the information, and have some fun. And welcome back to Coast, Rick Collingwood with us. Rick, if people are undergoing very traumatic experiences, does that increase or decrease their paranormal activity?
It increases it most does. Definitely. Look, a lot of people that have significant issues when they're young, there's a lot of sexual abuse and all sorts of horrid things go on. They'll, if you will, they'll open a door that will allow other emotions to come in, or they'll repress what they've felt or they're feeling. So I think sometimes there's some discarnate entities or energies that it can, t- can attach themselves to people. I've found when I've worked with this, we have a fear and panic free and a post-traumatic stress disorder MP3s at the website, which will put some good discounts on for your listeners at the moment. If people know that they've had a trauma and they can't quite put their finger on it, but they feel like they've lost control or other personality aspects come in, a fear and panic free or a post-traumatic stress disorder MP3 will really help. But if it's sort of unknown and something just turns up, what we've used in the past is mind-body healing and happiness and self-esteem. So there's basically MP3s on there for anything that's the human condition. So I think different people get affected in different ways for different causes or by different causes and get different results. But it's certainly not the end of the world if this happens. It can be if one just purely goes down the medication line and just gets bombed out with medication so they can't really think or feel anything. But, you know, that can lead to a pretty mundane life, you know?
Sure can. Rick, let's take our final calls here for you. We'll go to Canton, Ohio. Mike's with us. Hey, Mike, go ahead.
Hello, fellas. How you doing tonight?
Good, Michael. Thank you.
How are you, Mike?
I'm doing pretty good now. Years ago, we used to have a big Halloween party every year. My wife would get into Ouija, and there'd be a lot of drinking. I don't drink. I quit 20 years ago, and I wouldn't get involved with it. But over the years, I noticed, and we noticed, that there was some things happening in the house. We had one room that, in the summertime, it would stay ice cold. Whatever was in there pulled my one daughter's dog underneath the bed. And then we had something in the basement that it was a black object, but it wasn't hurting anybody. And then my wife one night woke up, and she said my side of the room was blood red, and there was two little demons. She said they were women, but they were translucent. She said you could see their eyes and their fangs, and they were just watching me. And I said, why didn't you say something? She said, scared her. But a lot of things happened. I mean, my luck went bad. I lost my job. Eventually, I lost the house, but what was crazy is before we did move out, my animals started coughing, and we started coughing. We had a lot of electrical problems. I mean, I had the house rewired and everything, but a lot of things like that went wrong. And we ended up moving into an older farmhouse, which is more pleasant. I mean, things have started changing around, and my luck, I mean, I'm good with God, believe me. And my wife doesn't do that anymore. And it's just, and when she would do that, what was really weird to me is her eyes would almost get like snake eyes. I mean, she's got the prettiest blue eyes you'll ever see on a lady, but they would get this really weird look to them. Because I told her, I said, you look possessed. But well, no, I don't mess with that.
What did she say when you told her that?
She just looked at me and kind of laughed. And she would get mean. I mean, you know, it would be, she would get a little bit mean with me. I told her, I said, something's wrong. But I mean, her eyes, like say, she has beautiful blue eyes, but they just got this look to them. They got like a black ring around them, and they were almost like a snake or a lizard eye.
Reptilian, yeah.
It makes no sense to me. I mean, but we moved to another home, and it was built in 1920, and this house has shadow people. I mean, you see shadows, but nothing happens. They mess with my cats. But I mean, everything's pleasant. But like I say, I did end up losing the house. I lost my job. And a friend of mine, when it went up for auction, it didn't sell. He said he'd gone into it. He said, what was weird? He said all the paint had peeled off the walls. And he said he went in the basement, and he said there was sawdust everywhere, which I never had trouble with termites or anything. I mean, it was just, it was a nice house at one time, and we quit having Halloween parties. We don't mess with any of that.
I don't blame you. There's the old Ouija board, Rick.
Yeah, look, I as I said, I think they're very, very dangerous. They've been banned in a lot of countries, and I think for good reason. They're not just they're like the flechettes. They're not just a toy that anybody should just pick up and use, because they open up doorways that let other energies through, and a lot of them are mischievous, and they'll do what they can to try and take over or create and disrupt people's lives. You have to be very, very careful with these things, you know?
Oh, you sure do. There's no question about that. Jeanette is with us in Godfrey, Illinois. Hey, Jeanette, go ahead.
Good evening, morning, wherever you are.
Yes, we are.
My interest is three different questions since Mr. Rick Is it Collingwood or Hollingwood?
Collingwood with a C.
Collingwood with a C.
Okay. I'd like to direct my question to Rick. Since you deal with demons and bad spirits and the like, I was wondering if you have had any experience with, number one, the all-seeing eye, number two, the evil eye, and number three, the jinn, and can you explain any of these or describe them?
The all-seeing eye, yes. It's basically a sacred symbol, which I think is quite harmless and will bring knowledge to people that seek that out. There's a lot of writings about that in the old mesmerism books. It was quite well accepted. The evil eye is a similar thing, but very, very negative indeed. And you can cast the evil eye. There's a lot of tribes and ancient races of people to this day that still do that. What was the third one that you asked? Sorry,
the jinn, and I'm not sure how that is spelled. If it's
J-I-N-N. Sometimes it's J-I-N-N as well.
Yes. I'm not overly experienced. Yeah. I haven't done a lot of reading on that or had any experience with it, so I couldn't
the genies.
Ask that question. Genies. Well, I would say that would probably hark back to angels of either the light or the dark force, and it was a way of explaining them. I think definitely there are entities that come through and take on the persona of people, and they're either going to be good or they're going to be evil, you know, where people report meeting angels or demons. There's some reality in that. So I would say that the genie really historically would attach itself to that scenario, if you will.
All right, Jeanette, thank you so much. Next up, we go to Washington, the state of. Hey, John, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Another great show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And Rick, I appreciate all the information you brought. I've got a question. I've gone to three different hypnotherapists, and each one of them gives you a test when you walk in. It's like a 50-question test, and they say it's to see where your brain falls, whether you're right brain or left brain, or how they're going to do their hypnotherapy. And all three of them told me that I fall 50-50, right in the middle. And I was told that only 2% of the population is like that. Well, none of them were able to hypnotize me. Is there any truth to that, or should I just keep looking for another hypnotherapist? Do you have any information on that?
I'll answer the question. In my training manuals with hypnosis, there is two tests. One is from a University of Texas, and one is what's called the Stanford Hypnotic Scale. They're there because academically they should be, but I teach my students never to use them because I've often found that people that apparently come up low on these scales are very easily hypnotizable. You must understand hypnosis to a great degree in the modern era has become an academic process, and it's been very, very disempowered down. The true hypnosis was... It started to fade away in sort of the mid-1940s to the early 1950s, and it became more talk therapy than actually inducing a deep hypnotic state. So the scales are very, very inaccurate anyway. You don't have true hypnosis in any person at all unless you can create a phenomena, such as locking their arm down onto a chair or an arm floating up under suggestion. And they're fully aware that it's happening, but they have no control over it. And it's not through gullibility or suggestibility, but academia has significantly disempowered hypnosis. It's a shame.
Is there something I can look for or something specific to look for in a hypnotherapist to find somebody that's good?
All right, my opinion would be you need to find someone that does rapid inductions and traditional hypnosis. But okay. If you want hypnosis, go to my website and check out some of the MP3s. They'll do the same job at a lot less money than going to a therapist. And I've been there for a long, long time, and they work really well.
Linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Next up, let's go to New York City. Nana's with us. Hi, Nana.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I wanted to say, very interesting topic tonight. And I also agree. I really just feel that the spiritual realm is one that coexists with our existence. I had an episode that occurred. I was about 10 years old at my aunt's house, and she's sick. She's a widow. Never met her husband. And I find their wedding photo. As I'm looking at the wedding photo, I'm thinking, looking at her husband who passed, and wondering, why did you leave her? Why haven't you come back for her? This was about 1 p.m. in the afternoon. About 9:30 that night, baby started crying. His mom, which is my cousin-in-law, got up, went to the room, immediately came out crying and screaming that there was a presence in the room. When I heard the commotion, I met her in the hallway, and this very cold air started to come out the room and pass by us. It surrounded us, and immediately we started to cry, and you could see the goosebumps on our arms. It was so cold. And I never forgot that experience, and also never questioned dead presence again.
Look, I think as a child you'd be much more susceptible to it as well. I know that adults will sense and see these things, but as a child it would be more probably, what's the right term, traumatic to you, because it's something completely non-understandable and you're more receptive to it. So obviously it had an effect on you because it stayed with you all of your life, hasn't it?
Oh my gosh, these things do stay with you forever, don't they?
They do. The result of them is how you react to them. If you want to see them as frightening and think of them that way, that's the form that they will take with you. Whenever I'm confronted with any of this, I see it as interesting, not as frightening or something to be afraid of, and that way it doesn't tend to affect at all, you know?
Nana, thank you for your call. We'll take a few more before we're out of time with Rick Collingwood. We go to Colorado Springs, west of the Rockies. Scott, go ahead, sir.
Hi, thank you very much for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I'm just wondering if Mr. Collingwood could give us any hints about how to find a proper hypnotist or hypnotherapist that will get you down to that proper therapeutic state, that's not maybe a charlatan or just a showman.
Look, to me, the real hypnotists are the ones that are on the stage. Some do therapeutic work, but they know how to do deep, fast, quick inductions and genuine trance. It really, maybe the American Hypnotherapy Association could help you with it. It's a shame that it's been turned into what it's become in many cases. But I would say try the American Hypnotherapy Association. At least that way you're going to get somebody that's had some genuine training in this. If you're interested in learning it yourself, we've made a couple of huge discounted price training courses on the website too, with mesmerism and hypnosis, so they're available. It's nowhere near as mysterious as it appears to be. You know, people have a very distorted impression of hypnosis, but a lot of the training now is, as I've said before, it's very, very ordinary. There's nothing astounding happening with it at all. So you've just got to seek and search. You'll find on the website as well, there is a USA section of a lot of hypnotists that have had traditional training. So that might be a place to go and have a look for the UK or for the USA. There's a lot there, and they're trained properly. So
well,
that might be
a thank you very much. Your science is certainly helpful to a lot of people, and I hope that I might be able to find the one that might be able to help me with the things that I'm looking for.
I hope that you can. Thank you.
All right, Luke, it's your turn in Midland, Texas. Go ahead, Luke.
Hey, Rick. Hey, George. How's it going?
Good. Good.
How you doing? Hey, man. I have two comments and two questions, and they're all related. Earlier, Rick, you stated that there was a connection between medications and channels to the spiritual realm. As a paramedic, I've never heard that, and I'm very spiritual, and I've never heard that there's a connection between the two. I was wondering if you could elaborate on that a little bit.
Now, what I said was medications will tend to dumb things down, not open up the spiritual realm, but they will close it down. So maybe you misunderstood what I said, or I presented it the wrong way. So medications as such, I think some of the illegal medications, such as LSD, speed, crack, those things can open us up to other energies, if you will. But I wasn't referring to pharmaceutical medication. Pharmaceutical medication will be used to turn it off, but it's often done used by dumbing down.
Dumbing down, overused, preparing. Overprescribed sometimes too.
Hmm.
At least in this country, Rick.
We have that everywhere.
Yeah, we sure do. Luke, thanks for your call. Let's try Jake now and also the state of Washington. Hey, Jake. Hi.
Yes, hi. I actually had an incident where I my girlfriend of 10 years, she died of alcohol abuse.
Oh, gosh.
Just this last August. Now, in that trials of her body going downhill with alcohol, it was interesting to hear what you guys were saying about drugs and how that interacts with the spirit world, because there were several times where she'd go into seizures. After the seizures, that's when she'd get taken over by an entity. It was a repetitive entity that hanged around frequently, and I was able to constantly, time after time again, banish this entity from the area, but I think it still kept in the relative realm and followed her around. So I just kind of wanted to share that. Now, alcohol, you know, I think it does have the ability definitely to shut down, and this ties in with other drugs as well, shut down the brain and not make you more able to pick up on energy fields, but more able to let energy fields take over your body. So that's something that is something, you know, it's like to make sure people understand that difference. It's not something that they want to dabble in and is an attempt to try to connect.
No, definitely not. There's look, the last thing that anyone should do, and I don't mean to sound like a prude, is take drugs, because you look at anyone that's a drug addict, their life doesn't turn into a raving success, does it? It tends to fall apart very quickly. I also think that some of these energies, if one is a drug addict or an alcoholic, you become a very easy target for them. And perhaps there's discarnate human spirits out there that used to be alcoholics or drug addicts that are still craving for that feeling. So they will seek out whoever they can to temporarily experience the feeling again, I think.
Rick, the clock has got us, but thanks for everything you do. And do you travel to the States often?
I do. I haven't been there for about 18 months, but I'm due back in May.
Well, if you ever get in the L.A. area, look us up, okay?
I'm going to, and thank you very much for having me on, and I hope the listeners have enjoyed it.
Absolutely. And Rick's website, of course, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. When I come back, a couple hours of open lines for you, so get ready to go right here on Coast to Coast AM.